Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Like sands through the Blackwater, so are the days of our Milton. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
Moving forward, I don't think this facade grant should continue. That money and those funds should be used to benefit the city, the citizens of Milton, period. In infrastructure, sidewalks, like I say, lighting, whatever, band show, improvement. Walk around, drive around some of the streets here and look at the condition of the sidewalks. I mean, they're falling apart. A lot of them, they're not maintained. We could use that grant money to repair where the people benefit from it. The people, I don't see them benefiting from facade grants to private individual businesses. Where's the benefit to the public? I don't see it. Somebody can change my mind, feel free.
Well, I haven't seen Mike Cusack allow his mind to be changed very often, so it might be a little bit of a silly ask. But okay, so city council member in Milton, as always drama in Milton, Mike Cusack, has decided that he does not like the facade grant program, in case you're not familiar. The idea is simple. Well, it's a little complicated. But you have these community redevelopment areas. And in the community redevelopment area, you have blight. And the idea is that in order to incentivize investment in the CRA, you set a baseline tax rate. And then above the valuation of the properties in that area, anything that increases, it's called the TIF, the tax increment financing. The valuation above that, when you take property taxes, goes back into the area. And it's supposed to go back into the area to make the area better so that you get more investment, and then you get more taxes, and then you get more investment, you get more taxes. It's like a positive spiral is what it's supposed to be. Well, there are all kinds of rules on what you can use this money for, but one very common way of using that money is to do what Milton does, the facade grant program. And that's the idea that if a business wants to improve their exterior facade of their building in a blighted area, you know, an area that looks crummy and run down, and that they're going to match money with the city, and they're going to put some money in, and the city's going to put some money in, and you're going to make things more beautiful. And then the theory is that over time, as you make this area, this building more beautiful and that building more beautiful, then eventually the area starts to look more beautiful, and people want to live there and walk there and play there and invest there and spend money there, and businesses come. And that's the theory. A theory that works well over and over again. But Mike Cusack says, stupid. I'm a businessman. This is what he always says about himself. I'm a businessman. This is a waste of money.
And forward, I think that this facade grant should be abolished, and that that funds and that taxpayer money should be used to benefit the citizens of Milton with infrastructure improvements or whatever. You know, you walk around the boardwalk, half the lights don't work. They haven't worked since I've lived here.
Okay. I can go 90% on this one. Half the lights on the boardwalk are out. Okay? Could be he's seeing a lot of light bulbs that are out on the Riverwalk, the boardwalk. Could be that he's saying the light poles or the poles that are there don't, but it's my understanding that only half of them even have lights on them, so it's not that they're half out, it's that they only have, but to the main subject, okay? To the main subject, which is the waste of money. He wants sidewalks. It's very expensive to do sidewalks, and also private people are not going to contribute any money to improve the sidewalks, so it's squandering CRA money. He doesn't understand the facade grant, doesn't think that that's a good plan.
That's my proposal. I'm going to make a motion that we do away with the business facade grant program, use that money in other ways that benefit the public. That's the motion I'm making right now.
A program that there's a lot of controversy in this program over who gets what money and can people get it more than once and all this kind of stuff. There's been a lot of argument over the years. But a very, very popular program in terms of how many people participate in it. And he wants to just completely get rid of it because as a businessman, he does not understand it. The next voice you're going to hear here is Gavin Hawthorne. Okay?
So you're not business friendly, essentially, is what you're saying?
What's that?
So you're not business friendly, is what you're saying, because we're supporting businesses.
I'm very business friendly.
There's one person speaking at a time.
Mama Lattes, we approved to do a sign. Now, if they came up here and was like, you know what? No, we need to go to sidewalks. What does that say as a council that we're telling to businesses?
So the super business friendly guy, Mike Cusack, he says, super business knowledgeable guy, he says, and Gavin Hawthorne's like, oh, so you're not business friendly because you don't want to do something in partnership with these businesses to improve the facades and, you know, unblight the community. Okay, great. No. I'm totally business friendly, except for I totally want to take away the thing that the businesses all enjoy doing.
Well, I'd recommend that we take a step back for a second here. First of all, we don't have a second to the motion, but also there needs to be some understanding of what the CRA money can be used for.
Right, because there are limits to what it can be used for.
So there could be a lot of great ideas that y'all can discuss. It doesn't have to become personal about who's business friendly or not.
Maybe it does.
But Councilman Cusack, it may be premature to do that motion right now because y'all haven't had a full-fledged discussion. But if you get a second to that motion, there can be a vote on it. My recommendation is that everyone have a good understanding of what the CRA money can be used for, and then decide, okay, what is your policy as a council on how you want CRA money used?
See, the thing about Councilman Cusack is he is frequently wrong and arrogantly so. You know, I don't mind people who are arrogant if they're right. You know, give them a lot of grace if they're sort of less arrogant and they're wrong. But if you're both arrogant and wrong, oh man. Oh man. Just, I have a special spot in my heart for that. And not a good place. John Pickens got traffic on the files. We'll come back to this in a second. John?
Not a good place. No accidents to let you know about right now. It looks like I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. If you're traveling on 98 going eastbound, east of the Navarre Beach Bridge, you're going to see about a 9 to 12 minute delay as traffic starts to get congested through that area. Other than that, traffic looks good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Mayor Lindsay talking about this proposal from Mike Cusack to end the facade grant match program in the city because, you know, he thinks that facades don't improvement doesn't help with blight, but maybe sidewalks do.
But those are some of the thoughts, and you may have already thought about it, Councilman Cusack, but the others may not have.
Well, I agree there, Mayor. Perhaps we do need, the rest of the council needs more time to review what's involved with the CRA money and the grants. But to call me business friendly is not a true statement, but that's okay.
To call me business friendly is not a true statement. Wait a minute, what?
But to call me business friendly is not a true statement, but that's okay.
Well, I mean, he obviously meant to call me business unfriendly, but in the heat of his upsetness, he got it wrong.
Just to be clear, I think earlier you were saying you do feel like you're business friendly. Your motion's not intended to say that. You're not business friendly. Is that what you're trying to say?
No, I am business friendly. I have I run an office in Milton, so I'm business friendly because I come. But anyway, so no, I'm business friendly.
I run an office, therefore I'm business friendly. I'm not sure that's a tautology or even a good reasoning, but okay. So he says,
my point is that I think the money could be utilized better for the citizens. Is what I'm saying, and that's who we work for. I understand we work for the business people as well, but if you own a business, you should have the funds available to maintain your business. That's my point.
Now, there is a theory there, okay, that, you know, if you're going to improve your, you know, facade, that should be something that you fund because you should be running your business well enough. Kind of the theory is, but it also benefits the public because they see it. It's the visible exterior. That's, you know, you're not doing matching funds for renovating the inside. You're not doing matching funds for renovating the backyard. You're doing matching funds for remedying the front, right? The things that people see. That's why there's public money eligible to be used for it. Ed Spears, the city manager, who's a, you know, kind of a community planner. That's his thing. Explains.
The TIF, the tax increment financing, is a unique funding structure, and the only way to grow the TIF is to increase property values. They are directly correlated, and the CRA captures the growth in taxes from the city and county. I don't believe there's any other mechanism we could have to entice Santa Rosa County to invest $80,000 to $100,000 a year in our downtown other than this CRA. Direct incentives to improve property values grows the TIF generating the revenue that you will need either to leverage to finance an amphitheater or to do more of those projects that benefit everyone, the sidewalks.
And again, that was the premise of all this, was he couldn't understand why it benefits the public to make things look prettier, which is amazing to me that he doesn't get the concept, but also that the idea of the CRA is specifically to address the blight, the appearance.
No offense, Mr. Messick, but painting buildings, renewing, replacing windows, that is eliminating slum and blight. And that is the number one mandated goal of all CRAs in the state of Florida, to eliminate slum and blight, to improve the built environment, to make it look better, to generate more ad valorem taxes so that those funds can then be reinvested in the community.
And there's a payoff that it's revenue positive. You get back your investment on a 5 to 7 year recovery time, but it's also because it generates a variety of other spin-off benefits. Now, I actually think you can have a good conversation about what's the best use of the money. Do CRAs really work? Somebody texts in, show me one in Escambia County that's worked effectively. No, I think it's a fair conversation. But again, coming at it with the idea that, well, I just don't get how facades help with blight. Instead, what we need is to put all that money into sidewalks. How does the public benefit from facades? Okay, sir. Anyway, Ed Spears continues with the recoupment of investment concept.
This particular program, we tell you every time the return on investment, the amount of private investment it leverages. Right now, it's closing in on $8 for every dollar that you spend in this project. The private industry, private business owners are paying $8. Into their projects.
Think of it the way, you know, whether you love an HOA or not, think of it about the difference between an HOA community and a non-HOA community. When you go into a non-HOA community, you know there's no HOA. It's obvious from the oil stains on the road. It's obvious from the cars parked everywhere. It's obvious from the way the houses look and the bushes are not trimmed and the lawns are not mowed. Some are, but enough are not. When you go into an HOA subdivision, it looks different. It looks better. It looks nicer. You'd rather live there. Same concept. You've gotten parts of town that have fallen into disrepair over the years, what they call blight, and a facade grant where you match business money with public money that's generated from the tax increment financing from that area, remember, that is designed to incentivize people to continue doing the better so that it becomes prettier, so that it becomes a place where people want to, you know, live, work, play, shop, invest, and that generates sales taxes, that generates property taxes that go back into reinvestment, it generates business investment for building new things. Anyway, so... It may not be the greatest. Nobody's calling anybody fat. Nobody's trying to hide public records like it seems very likely to be the city council is going to try to do on Monday in a shade meeting. 100,000 texts and emails that the judge has reviewed in the Mayor Heather Lindsay case that she says didn't exist, or many of which she said didn't exist, and maybe 60 or 70,000 of which he says are public records. They might vote to not even have them disclosed to drop the lawsuit just on the verge of them getting publicly released. We'll see. It's not quite as juicy as all that, but still it is, in my opinion, always fun to hear somebody who says I'm business friendly not understand something that's kind of pro-business and has led to investment in Milton over the years, and for Gavin Hawthorne to kind of call him out on it and, you know, make it more entertaining for a moment. Just a two-parter today. Just a two-parter. No third part. Sorry. Nope. No third. Two is good enough. John...
It's a three-act play.
Today was, you know, a vignette.
It's three acts.
Today was a vignette. 7:23 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. And I have Pensacon tickets to give away. If you'd like to go to Pensacon, I have two tickets for you coming up February 14th through the 16th. So that is a week from this weekend, a week after the Super Bowl. Caller number, be fast, two right now, 437-1620. I'm Andrew McKay.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
It's so disappointing to hear people use the name of God flippantly. Ladies and gentlemen, God is not your homeboy, and he's not the man upstairs. His name should not be used to express your stress level. Isaiah 6 says that God is holy, holy, holy. The word holy means set apart or sacred. He's holy God the Father and holy God the Son and holy God the Spirit. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. May I humbly suggest to you that you think twice before you devalue the name of the One which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell, but instead I urge you to reverence His precious and wonderful name.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College on the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 10 a.m. Key Marine Center is sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service Technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. It's a dream team, so join them tomorrow at 10 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 is accepting applications for employment. Periodically, we have openings in sales, business, news, promotions, engineering, production, and programming. We'll keep your application for consideration when such an opening occurs. We also provide internships for qualified students. Apply online at News Radio 92.3 or at our studios at 7251 Plantation Road between 8:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. ADX Communications is an equal opportunity employer.
News Radio 92.3 gets you live programming every day from 5 a.m. until 7 p.m. on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 7:26 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. We have President Trump speaking at the National Prayer Breakfast. We'll have that for you in just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to let you know about. I-10, I-110 are looking good. Not seeing any slowdowns. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. This is on a slight delay because I wanted to go back to the beginning of his remarks, but this is President Trump speaking just a few moments ago at the National Prayer Breakfast.
Jeffries, thank you. And many other very distinguished leaders in the room. It's a great, great group of people. If we could ever come together, it would be unbelievable. May not happen, but it should, and maybe it will. From the earliest days of our republic, faith in God has always been the ultimate source of the strength that beats in the hearts of our nation. We have to bring religion back. We have to bring it back much stronger. It's one of the biggest problems that we've had over the last fairly long period of time. We have to bring it back. Thomas Jefferson himself once attended Sunday services held in the old House chamber on the very ground where I stand today. So there could be nothing more beautiful than for us to gather in this majestic place. It is majestic, and reaffirm that America is and will always be one nation under God. At every stage of the American story, our country has drawn hope and courage and inspiration from our trust in the Almighty. Deep in the soul of every patriot is the knowledge that God has a special plan and a glorious mission for America. And that plan is going to happen. It's going to happen. I hope it happens sooner rather than later. It's going to happen. And it's His hand that guides us every single step of the way. And all of you and the things we have to do is to see the defining role that faith and prayer have played in the life of our nation. And you just have to look at this building and you can look at each other. You can really look at each other. It's defined almost everyone in this room. I think faith has been very strong with the people in this room. Just steps away from here in the Hall of Columns is the statue of John Winthrop, who famously proclaimed that America would stand as a city upon a hill, a light to all nations, with the eyes of all people upon us. Today, almost 400 years after that famous sermon, we see that with the Lord's help, the city stands taller and shines brighter than ever before, or at least it soon will. In that same hall, we also find the statue of the great Roger Williams, who founded the state of Rhode Island, named its capital city Providence, and built the first Baptist church in America. It's Williams that we have to thank for making religious liberty part of the bedrock of American life. And today we must protect the fundamental freedom with absolute devotion. We must stand strong, just like generations of Americans have done on the battlefields all around the world. Feet away from the magnificent rotunda, another statue watches over visitors to the Capitol. George Washington, the founder of our country, often called for Americans to join together in prayer, very often. And more than two centuries later, this morning, we heed President Washington's wisdom and follow in his mighty footsteps. He was a strong man and of great religious strength. The stories of legends like Washington, Winthrop, and Williams remind us that without faith in God, there would be no American story. Every citizen should be proud of this exceptional heritage. We have an unbelievable heritage, and we have to use that and make life better for everyone. That's why as we approach the 25th times 10 anniversary, think of that, 250 years we'll be celebrating next year of our country's founding. I have signed an executive order to resume the process of creating a new national park full of statues of the greatest Americans who ever lived. We're going to be honoring our heroes, honoring the greatest people from our country. We're not going to be tearing down, we're going to be building up. It will be called the National Garden of American Heroes. Some of you will be on that soon to be hallowed ground. Some of you, let's see, I can pick a few of you right now by looking. There's a couple of you right now I can see. Let's see. It's the president's sole opinion. And I've given myself a 25-year period. And then somebody else. By that time, it'll be very, very built up. Yeah, it will be something very special. And I hope that Congress will fully fund this wonderfully unifying project at the first possible opportunity. It's not going to be a lot of money. It's going to be very important, however, so that more of our people can be inspired by the faith and courage of patriots like those who we honor in these halls. One of the incredible Americans whose memory my order will celebrate is also recognized with a statue in the Capitol representing the great state of North Carolina. And that's a man known who everybody loved, Reverend Billy Graham. He was something. My father used to take me to watch the Crusades. He would take me to Yankee Stadium. I remember it so well. I remember it more than I remember any Yankee game, and I've seen a lot of Yankee games. Can you believe it? And Billy didn't have a bat, so, you know, it was just pretty good. It was amazing. You'd have 60 or 70,000 people, and they loved him. They loved him. I saw him with Franklin. I don't know if Franklin's here. I just don't know, but I've gotten to know Franklin. He's done a great job with helping on tragedies and problems like in North Carolina. California. He's always the first one there. Work he does is his father's very proud of him, I can tell you that. But Billy Graham was very special. One floor below us, Reverend Graham's statue stands with an open Bible, the page turned to a letter from the Apostle Paul, which reads, "Let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up." Never give up. Never, ever give up. You can't. How about me? If I would have given up, I would not be here right now. Who the hell knows where I'd be? It might not be a good place. If it was up to the Democrats, it would not be a good place at all. Never, ever give up. There could be no better message for the leaders gathered here, and you are real leaders. And we must never give up, and we must never grow tired. We must never grow weary. And we always must practice good. As you know, last week, only a few miles from here, our nation witnessed a terrible tragedy when 67 people were killed in a horrible accident near Reagan Airport. As one nation, we take solace in the knowledge that their journey that night did not end in the icy waters of the Potomac, but in the warm embrace of a very loving God. None of us knows exactly when our time on earth will be over. You never know. A truth I confronted a few short months ago when there was an incident that wasn't, it was not fun. It was not a good thing. But God was watching me. The chances of me being here, my sons are shooters. They're really good shooters, Don and Eric. And they said the chances of missing from that range with that gun are, but Don equated it to a 1 foot putt. That's pretty bad. 2 feet I can see missing, but 1 foot you can't miss. It was the equivalent of a 1 foot putt is what he told me. He said, in fact, he gained some religion. He went up 25%. And if you know him, that's a lot. But he said, there had to be somebody that saved you. And I think I know who it is. And he looked up and I said, whoa, Don, that's come, you've come a long way. He's a good guy. But my two sons just really couldn't believe it. Had I not turned that right turn just at that time, and the audience, 55,000 people standing this way, there was just a few people in the back on the bleachers. There was nobody over there except for my all-time favorite chart in history, a chart on immigration. Immigration saved my life, see? So we're going to be good for immigration, okay? But had I not made that turn, boom, and quickly, it was almost as though a deer bolted. You know, they say the only way you miss when you're a good shot is if it bolts. I bolted. I turned to the right to look at the chart, and I said, wow, what was that? What was that? So you never know, but God did that. I mean, it had to be. The chances of turning, there's no reason to turn to the right. You know, the chart is rarely brought down. I brought it down maybe 20%, and 20% of the time. And it's never on my right. It's always on my left. And it's always at the end of the speech, never the beginning of the speech. And if I was a little more than that 90-degree angle, it would be no good. And if I was a little less, it would be no good. It had to be perfect. Thing went right along the edge. It didn't affect my hair. Can you believe that? Might have touched it, but not where it counts. Not the skin part. But it's, no, honestly, it's a mirror. It changed. It changed something in me. I feel even stronger. I believed in God, but I feel much more strongly about it. Something happened. So, thank you. Thank you. But that event, like the tragedy last week, should remind us all that we have to make the most out of every single day that we have. Who would think that you're in space and two things collide? The odds of that happening are so small, even without proper control. We should have had the proper control. We should have had better equipment. We don't. We have obsolete equipment. They were understaffed for whatever reason. I guess the helicopter was high, and we'll find out exactly what happened. But the odds, even if you had nothing, if you had nobody, the odds of that happening are extremely small. It's like, did you ever see, you go to a driving range in golf and you're hitting balls, hundreds of balls, thousands of hours. I never see a ball hit another ball. Ball's going up all over the place. You never see him hit. It was amazing that that could happen. There was a lot of mistakes made, and it should have never happened. But regardless of that, it's amazing that it happened. And I think that's going to be used for good. I think what is going to happen is we're all going to sit down and do a great computerized system for our control towers, brand new, not pieced together, obsolete like it is land-based, trying to hook up a land-based system to a satellite system. And the first thing that some experts told me when this happened is you can't hook up land to satellites and you can't hook up satellites to land. It doesn't work. We spent billions and billions of dollars trying to renovate an old broken system instead of just saying, cut it loose. And let's spend less money and build a great system done by two or three companies, very good companies, specialists, that's all it is. They used 39 companies. That means that 39 different hookups have to happen. And I don't know how many people of you are good in terms of all of the kind of things necessary for that, and it's very complex stuff. But when you have 39 different companies working on hooking up, different cities at different people, you need one company with one set of equipment. And there are some countries that have unbelievable air controller systems, and they would have, bells would have gone off when that helicopter literally even hit the same height, because it traveled a long distance before it hit. It was just like, just wouldn't stop. It was, you know, follow the line. But bells and whistles would have gone off. They have them where it actually could virtually turn the thing around. It would have just never happened if we had the right equipment. And one of the things that's going to be, I'm going to be speaking to John and to Mike and to Chuck and to everybody. We have to get together and just, as a single bill, just pass where we get the best control system. When I land in my plane privately, I use a system from another country because my captain tells me I'm landing in New York and I'm using a system. I won't tell you what country, but I use a system from another country because the captain says this thing is so bad, it's so obsolete, and we can't have that. So we're going to have the best system and a lot of money, but it's not that much money. And it'll happen fast, and it'll be done by total professionals. And when it's done, you're not going to have accidents. It's just not, they're not, they're virtually not possible to have. Each of us is blessed with a precious chance to help lead America to renew our pledges of faith and everything else, and bring us to new heights and create a future of promise for our people and for ourselves. You know, we have the most important people in the country in a true sense here, because you're the ones that are going to make the decision. You're the ones that are leading us into so many different things, whether it's the right air control system or the right size military or what to do and what not to do. Most important people. And many of you are very religious. I know so many of you are very religious. And I just think that our country has been so badly hurt. We're very hurt by what COVID did to religion. It really hurt it badly. People couldn't go to church for a long period of time. Even going outside, they were given a hard time. And I'm not blaming anybody for that, but it was very hard to gather. So they start using computers, if that. And when they come back, it's just, you know, a whole new experience they have to get used to. But it is starting to come back. We had a fantastic thing happen yesterday. The Army had the best recruitment numbers that they've had in more than 15 years. They think it could be 25 years, actually. They're going to probably put that out. But more than 15 years just now. And we were worried about it. We were talking about it numerous times that, you know, we don't have people joining our military services. We don't have people joining our police force. We have to cherish our police. It's so dangerous. You open a car and somebody starts shooting. They have blackened windows. You don't even have any idea who's in the car. Oftentimes they have the dark windows, which are not in theory supposed to have, but they have them. The door opens and a gun is pointed at your face, and you can't do a thing about it. It's just nothing you're going to do about it. Your friends will take them out. It's happened so many times, but you just, it's so, such a dangerous thing. We have to cherish these people. So today we join our hearts and prayers and recommitting to putting our country first. We have to put our country first, making America stronger and greater and more exceptional than ever before. And we have to make religion a much more important factor now. We have to make it an important factor. And if we do that, it's going to be, our job is just going to be much easier. It unifies people. It brings people together. Democrats are going to be able to have lunch again and dinner with Republicans. And I remember just as growing up, I'd see, you know, I revered senators and congressmen or something very special, but they were out to dinner all the time we had an old congressman, maybe some of Cy Halpern from Queens, and he was a friend of my father. But he'd have dinner with, he was a Democrat, he'd have dinner with Republicans, and he'd be at it, wouldn't even make a difference. Today, it's like shocking. And it shouldn't be. You have to get together. We really have to get together. We all know what's right and what's wrong, and there's going to be compromise on both sides. But we have to just do the right thing, and we have to get together. You did it with Marco Rubio. You got everybody who's 99 votes, and the only vote was our VP, who maybe we should have been there just to make it 100. But I think I would have been angered if it was 100. That might be a step too far, right? But no, it was great to see a vote. Pam Bondi had support from Democrats, and some of the others had some pretty good support. So, you know, it's doable. We had a recent bill having to do with a very beautiful young lady who was killed from Georgia. And that bill was very bipartisan. It was a very beautiful thing to watch, actually. And so I think we just have to, if possible, we have to unify. There's big division. I mean, some people want an open border and some people want a closed border. We want it closed and they want it open. That's a big difference. How do you solve that problem? It's a big difference. Some people want men and women sports and some people don't. And I was with somebody yesterday who was so upset that the bill was signed where men cannot participate in women's sports. And I said, he's a very smart guy, went to a great school, was a great student, and he actually feels, you know, that should happen. Men should be able to play, meaning transition into women's sports. And you talk to him, and it's just, you know, I don't understand it. I don't understand how the problem ever got started in the first place. It just seems so simple. But he's a good person and just believes it. He just believes it. Not going to be easy to convince him otherwise. So where is a middle ground? It's hard to have a middle ground. There's two ways. I mean, you can either do it or you can't. But I think a lot of good things are going to happen. You know, a lot of people might be surprised to hear me say that of all people. But I think a lot of good things are going to happen because our country's got some big headaches. But we have tremendous spirit right now. The spirit is as high as it's been. It was up 49 points this morning. 49 points. It's the biggest increase in the history of whatever the poll was. So the spirit is there. That's a big factor. That's probably the hardest thing to get back, to be honest. The rest is easy. The rest is easy. So I want to just thank you all. I want to congratulate a lot of the new members. I see so many of you that ran great races, David. That was a great race. But so many that ran great races, and on both sides, you ran some incredible races, so it's good to be with you. And God bless everybody. We want to come together, and the happiest, the person, the element, the everything that's going to be happy, people of religion are going to be happy again. And I really believe you can't be happy without religion, without that belief. I really believe it. I just don't see how you can be. So let's bring religion back. Let's bring God back into our lives. Thank you all very much. Thank you very much. Great honor. Thank you.
So there you heard the president's comments at the National Prayer Breakfast. Real focus on, well, I mean, he talked about obviously his encounter with the shooting, some very entertaining discussion about that, also talking about the horrible crash at Reagan National Airport. But overall, a message of unity, a very somber message of unity and, you know, hoping for a time when we can get along and even a, you know, recognizing that people may disagree, but sometimes policy has to pick one or the other and you can't make everybody happy, which is a good note to have. And as you heard him say there at the end, that he doesn't see how anybody can really be happy without religion, that we need more of that in the world today. 7:49 on News Radio 92.3. I know programming is a little bit different. By the way, sorry that the news was playing over the beginning of the speech. We thought we had that solved for, and we did not, so I apologize. I know we got bunches of you texted us in, which I always appreciate. If we're screwing something up, please let us know. We'll try to fix it as quick as we can. John Pickens has got traffic for you. Traffic on the nines, I guess. We're a little late because of the president.
Brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Call them today for all your commercial and premium landscaping needs. No accidents to let you know about, but if you're traveling on I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29, I'm starting to see maybe a 7 to 8 minute delay. Also, if you're coming down Highway 90 from Pace into Pensacola, there's congestion right there, and I expect a 10 to 15 minute delay as that's backed up pretty good. Also, Garcon Point Bridge is seeing some delays both in the north and southbound lanes. So definitely pack your patience with that one. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
So, you know, we talk about Christine Leavenworth a lot, talk about the value of having a good realtor a lot. And one of the things I always think about in this context is I go back to when I first bought our first home, when we first bought our first home, and thinking, you know, like, we didn't really know much at the time. That's how it always is. You don't know what you're doing. You're getting into this thing. You hope it works out. And, you know, having used other realtors over time, I know that there is a range of competence. And, I'll just say we didn't have the tip top of the scale, okay? And it's really important when you're first time buying or selling even to have great representation, somebody who can really help you navigate the hurdles, ask the right questions, ask better questions, get good answers to them, and say like, hey, you might want to think about this, or hey, maybe that's not such a good idea, or that price is too high, or that price is too low. You know, there's all kinds of things to think about. And, you know, Christina and her folks at Leavenworth Realty sold 165 homes in 2023, 175 homes, or sorry, 175 in 2023, 165 last year. They sell 3.5 a week, 3.5 a week, 3.5 a week. That's experience you can count on. So if it's first time or maybe your 10th time, you want a great real estate agent, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty can help you. 723-9158.
Are you feeling tired, slower, or achier than you used to? You might think it's just age, but it could be low testosterone. At Wave Men's Health, they've helped thousands of men who didn't realize their symptoms were caused by declining testosterone levels, a problem that's becoming a new norm in American men. Wave Men's Health refuses to accept this new normal. They're committed to restoring testosterone to healthy levels so you can feel like yourself again, whether at home, in the gym, at work, or in the bedroom. For years, their providers have delivered testosterone therapy tailored to each man's needs. No one-size-fits-all solutions, just real science-backed results delivered by discreet local experts. Imagine more energy, sharper focus, and newfound confidence. A same-day testosterone check and consultation is just $99. Call 850-266-7020 or visit WaveMensHealth.com today. Your prime years aren't over. They're just waiting to be unleashed. Wave Men's Health. Making it happen.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us tomorrow at 9:30 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sunny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Hey, Northwest Florida, Dave Ramsey here. I want to tell you about my friends over at Gulf Coast Air Care. Owner Todd St. Ors and his team focus on the indoor air quality side of HVAC for the people who want comfortable, healthy, and energy-efficient homes and workplaces. Gulf Coast Air Care can help you with dusty, moldy, or leaky duct systems, hot or cold rooms, and odors and humidity issues. So, if you need duct cleaning, duct repairs, or air filtration, you should call Gulf Coast Air Care today at 850-934-2768. They've been trusted members of the community for over 30 years. And remember what Todd always says, if you don't have a good air filter, you are one. Call Gulf Coast Air Care today at 850-934-2768 or visit them online at gulfcoastaircare.com. And be sure and tell them that Dave Ramsey sent you.
Why is Bray Jewelers the best place to buy an engagement ring? Come in and see our selection. I promise you, we have more diamond engagement rings than you'll see anywhere in the panhandle of Florida. But it's what you do for people that they don't expect that they remember. The little things that we do, we want to deliver special experiences for you at Beret. We love doing what we do, and we love making people happy. We want every person that walks into the store to feel like you're part of our family. I want everybody to have an amazing experience at Beret Jewelers.
Investing in times like these can be scary if you don't have the right person at the helm of your finances. Armada Advisors will put you on the right path for success. This Monday, after the Pensacola Morning News at 9, join Wesley Odom with Armada Advisors to find a better way you can successfully invest your money and enjoy your retirement. Join them this Monday, right after the Pensacola Morning News at 9.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, Pep Talk, mornings at 9, right after Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Well, Brian, this is a very nutritious lunch. All the food groups are represented. Did your mom marry Mr. Rogers?
No, Mr. Johnson.
Huh.
Good morning, 7:55 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Happy Thursday! You're almost to Friday, which means you're almost to Monday again. No, I'm just kidding. It's mean. Say it that way. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
Well, we've got a couple accidents to let you know about. We've got a vehicle crash with injuries in roadblock at North W Street and Massachusetts Avenue. The road is blocked there, so use caution. Then I also got a tip of one that just happened on Scenic right before you get to I-10. That's a three-car wreck involved with that one that literally just happened. So we'll get more information on that, but just be aware of that. I-10 still slowing down eastbound as you're headed from Pine Forest to Highway 29. But other than that, traffic is looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Somebody's my joke about Monday, somebody said, "You jerk." Quick feedback. We have, I love the text line. We get so much, I mean, I really appreciate those of you who text in 437-1620. Even those of you who disagree. In fact, I actually appreciate disagreement more because it makes me think. When people agree, you don't have to think much. When people disagree, you have to think. Are they right? How much do I agree with that? It forces you to challenge your ideas. Like, so anyway, I was always raised in and taught that the value of disagreement is that you can learn and grow. You don't learn a lot from people just who tell you you're right.
So that's what you do to me. That's what you do to me all the time.
So I enjoy when people disagree. I say it all the time, but when people disagree with me on a text, I like that. I value that. Not because I like the fight, but because it's useful. It's productive. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, the Palisades and Eaton wildfires together may end up being the second costliest natural disaster in U.S. history, right behind Hurricane Katrina. A new report released by UCLA researchers estimates the economic losses from those wildfires could be between $95 and $164 billion. Today's the deadline for federal workers to accept the Trump administration's offer to pay them through September if they agree to resign. So far, about 40,000 federal employees have accepted that deal. And a Louisiana nurse that helped injured victims on the New Year's Day terrorist attack on Bourbon Street in New Orleans has now gotten some free tickets to the Super Bowl this weekend. New Orleans Saints linebacker DeMario Davis gave tickets to Stevie Kells. She's a clinical nurse supervisor in the area. Of course, the game this coming Sunday.
Very good, David. Thank you so much for the update. I got a note in from Mayor Reeves that in regards to the bridge lights, that FDOT does have an electrician working on it. There's a meeting with Weber's electrician, FPL. This was yesterday. This was tomorrow morning today to run tests on the electrical lines. As soon as we have more details and a possible timeline, they'll send it to you. This came from the District 3 Director of Transportation Development, Tim Smith at FDOT. So good progress of sort, I joke, how long until it's going to be fixed? You know, is it going to be 3 years or 5 years? It's easy to quip sometimes, and I know it's not charitable, and so I apologize. These folks are all really doing their best. Sometimes it's easy to, the roads, or you look at the turn signal, the turn lanes at Olive and Davis, where somebody put the N backwards on all of them, apparently. I mean, everybody needs an editor. And sometimes you just make mistakes, and it's kind of it has to have been a rough day for that person yesterday when the whole community, like literally all of social media, was either how we're not going to watch the Super Bowl, but we are going to take pictures of the turn lanes. So, oh, and also somebody who I trust very much, a dear friend, says I was completely wrong in my analysis of sidewalks versus facades, and Mike Cusack was right in the city of Milton. So if I was wrong, I apologize. I am certainly open to being persuaded, and I don't always get it right.